are times when I simply feel overwhelmed. Like I feel everything is just coming at me. There was a speaker, I think Galen shared it here at church a couple months ago, and at Bible school, one of the speakers shared that if you are in the center of where God has you, where God wants you, your calling on your life, that you won't get burned out, that you won't get weary. I've been grappling with that ever since that concept was put out there. I'm still grappling with it. You know, at Bible school, we just had Bible school, and I saw so many people that have specific callings on their life in other areas that they bring into Bible school. They put them to use. They walk in them. They thrive, and they have a lot of fun. And I've also seen people who have good skills, you know, good job skills, and they just put them to use. You know, that's, I'm talking about the calling God places on you, something, a spiritual gift that God gave you. It happened at Bible school so many times. I love seeing it. Love seeing it. You know, that week was a tough week for me, but it wasn't a burden. At the end of the week, Dan and I were talking Friday evening. He said, "How was the week for you? How are you feeling right now?" And I honestly broke down. I started crying. I said, "I gave everything I had." I said, "I know I'm here for a purpose. I knew what my purpose was. God gave it to me. I accepted it. I walked in it. I gave it all I had. But I'm wiped out, but I want to do it again. I don't want it to be over." It was Friday evening. It was over, but I didn't want it to be over. I was having a lot of fun. Was it a tough week? Absolutely, it was tough. There was some very hard time throughout the week. You know, in the past years, there's been several times that I have grown quite weary. The last time happened maybe about 2 months ago. And I had shared some of this at the men's meeting we had at Ernie's house. So some of you that were there will know about that. But that night, before I came in that night, I wanted to pack up and just move to Potter County or somewhere away. I wanted to just be a Christian that can just coast through life and not to have to fight for stuff anymore. I was tired. I wanted to just lay down my sword, and I wanted to just chill, like just sit back and just let life go. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me. I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Who wrote that? Who wrote that? Jeremiah did. That's right. He was writing it to the captives in Babylon at that time. Nebuchadnezzar had taken a bunch of people into captivity. They were in Babylon. And he wrote that to them in the letter that he wrote to them. We reference it a lot because it is a very powerful verse. When we look at this, God is saying, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you," that God thinks toward us. Thoughts of peace. We talked about peace this morning, Marcus. "Not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, that if you call upon me and pray to me, I will listen to you." This is God saying this. "If you seek me and find, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." We use that verse a lot when we talk to people, at least I do, when they're down and out. Jeremiah had a calling on his life, very specific calling. We're going to start in chapter 1, and I'm going to read starting in verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordain you a prophet to the nations.'" That sounds to me like a calling. He's calling him out to be a prophet. He said, "I ordain you a prophet to the nations." His response is in the next verses. says, Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. In verse 9, Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set this day you over the nations and over the kingdoms. And here is more of his calling. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. That's some powerful stuff. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, the time that he was called out to be a prophet, he was called out to be a prophet to Judea in around 626 BC. And if you read Jeremiah for the next 15 chapters, there is some crazy stuff that he had to stand up in front of people and speak. Some crazy stuff. I'm not going to go into too many of them. He was calling people, I mean, God was giving him words to speak, but the backsliding was used, I don't know how many times as he was speaking. Now, I'm not sure how that would feel for you to stand up in front of a city and say, you're backsliding, and just all sorts of other stuff. There's lots and lots of stuff that he had to speak to the people. Talking about lying words, about religion and false teaching, just all sorts of stuff. Now, I'm not sure how many months or years of a time frame that this was happening, that he was constantly prophesying, constantly speaking to this people from Judea, from Jerusalem. But it all came down to chapter 15. I'm going to jump into there. Here at the end, at the beginning of a chapter, said God was getting frustrated all this time. If God can get frustrated, they'll try a better word for that than frustrated. But as you read that, God kept changing things and kept saying, this is what's going to happen. And coming in chapter 15, he was saying, I mean, there was just lots of stuff. He said, I will appoint over them four forms of destruction. The sword to slay, the dogs to drag, the birds of heaven and the beasts of earth to devour and destroy. I will hand them over to trouble, to all kingdoms of the earth. And he goes down and says, you have forsaken me. You have gone backward. Therefore, I will stretch out my hand. I will destroy you. I am weary of relenting. I will destroy my people since they do not return to their ways. He just goes down there, a whole bunch of stuff. And coming into chapter 15, verse 10, Jeremiah said something. I'm going to bring that up. Woe is me, my mother, that you have borne me, a man of strife, a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent for interest, nor have men lent to me for interest. Every one of them curses me. I think by now, he was getting tired of this. Here he was preaching all this stuff, sharing all this stuff, being God's spokesman to these people, and nothing was changing. And God just got done saying, I'm going to destroy them. I'm done. It's over. I will destroy my people since they do not return to their ways. God's response then is in verse 11. He says, Surely it will be well with your remnant. Surely I will cause the enemy to intercede with you. In the time of adversary and in the time of affliction, can anyone break iron, the northern iron and the bronze? Your wealth and your pleasures I will give you as plunder without price. Because of all your sins throughout your territories, I will make you cross over with your enemies into a land which you know, which you do not know. For a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you. So that's God's response to him. Here, Jeremiah say, woe is me. And he's like, I'm a man on a strife, and all this is happening, and I'm just done. I think he was just done. And then God came back with that answer. But Jeremiah, he still wasn't feeling it. In verse 15, he says, O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me upon my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake, I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found. I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I do not sit in the assembly of mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual? Why my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream as waters that fail? Was that ever you at a time when you felt that God simply wasn't hearing you? People weren't hearing you. God wasn't hearing you. You felt lonely. You felt pushed back. You know that you know that you're doing God's calling. You were walking in it to the best that you can. But you just seem to come up against stuff and you can't get past it. And it's just coming at you faster and faster and faster. You're reading the Bible and it's giving you joy. You're pursuing holiness. But quite frankly, you're not sure if you can trust God anymore because this is just coming at you so fast. That's what Jeremiah was saying. In verse 16, he says, your words were found, I ate them. That's another way of saying that he's reading them, he's devouring them, he's taking them in. He says, they're joy to me, he's rejoicing. But he's feeling that God just isn't there. I've been there. I don't know if you ever have or not. I have. In verse 19, there's three words that impact me a lot. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return. What does that mean? Return to what? How is he supposed to return? Return to God? We just got done reading that he is talking about he is connected with God. I mean, he's reading God's word. And it's joy. It's not like there's pushback against God's word. He's talking to God right here. I think there's a connection with him and God. So what's he supposed to return to? I propose to you this morning that it simply means return back to your calling. The call that God placed on your life. Here, he knew what God's call was. In all these previous chapters, he was walking in that. He was preaching, he was prophesying, he was sharing, he was speaking God's word. And here, all of a sudden, he gets dejected. He gets tired of it. He's like, woe is me. He's talking about all this kind of stuff. He's like, take vengeance on people. All this stuff that's coming out. And he's talking about, will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream as waters that fill? He's questioning God. Will you be there for me? Can I trust you? Will you be there? And God comes back right away and says, if you return, then I will bring you back. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I think what he's saying here is if you return to your calling, take the precious things that I gave you out from all the vile. Get rid of the vile. Repent from the vile. Repent from the lies, the things that you were believing, the dejection you were feeling, everything else that you were feeling. Get rid of them. Pull out the precious from that, and you shall be as my mouth. That's what he was. He was a spokesperson for God. He was a prophet for God. He was out speaking God's words. He said, you shall be as my mouth. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked. I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. I know I had to do that night after I left the men's meeting at Ernie's house. I had shared with the men, I was like, what I just shared with you, that I was done. I was ready. I wanted to just move out. I wanted to just whatever. Well, those were lies. I can't do that. Those were lies that I was choosing to allow to penetrate my mind, and I was agreeing with them. Yeah, that would feel good. Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, that's probably the best solution, is to just get out. Not the truth. God placed a call in my life. I know what that calling is. I walk in it. I'm okay with that calling, and I do my best in that calling. But at that point where I was at in life right then, I didn't care. So I did repent that night after everyone left. And I trust that my brothers have my back. I wasn't feeling that right then. But I trust that the brothers have my back. I trust that we're a team. I trust that we're in this together and that I'm not alone. And that God obviously is there. That was never questioned if God's there or not, but it was just everything else going on. So those were lies that I was believing. So where are you this morning? Am I the only one that has ever journeyed through that? Are you feeling that the waves are coming at you and that your muck boots aren't big enough anymore and you need hit waders? Is that where you're at right now? What you gonna do about it? If that's where you are. And I can't answer that for any person here. I can't answer that. But I am going to give you an opportunity to share if you want to. And if you aren't comfortable here, that's fine. We could do it in our small group too. That's all that I have this morning. It was very short. Dale did not give me very much time to prepare. And then last night we had a Tuesday church meeting yet that took, when did you leave, Jason? 10:30, I think. So I did not have very much time to prepare. So I pretty much share what I have on my heart. And I'm going to trust that God has more that he wants to do with us, either now or in our small group. I really don't care where it happens. But if that's you, if you can relate to what I was sharing this morning, if that's you, I don't want us to leave here today still feeling that way. Because if you have a calling, Ernie shared last week, he shared a lot about that. If you have a calling on your life and you walk in, you've accepted in it, you will have the grace and you will have the power and you will have the strength to do it. And it's not your own strength. You don't have to push through by just putting on bigger boots and keep pushing through the water. You don't have to do that. Well, you can't do that, actually, because you're going to burn out. So if that's you, I don't know, Marcus, I'll turn it back over to you. I don't know if you want to give people time to share if they want to, or we can just split up in our groups right away. It's totally up to you. But that's my heart, that we would not leave. If there's a calling on your life and you're battling with it and you just feel things are coming in at you and you're not sure what to do with it, I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. We want to gather around you as a church, because that's honestly what keeps me going, knowing that everybody here is together. We're not isolated. We're not designed to be isolated. We're not designed to be out there by ourselves doing our own thing. No, the church is who God created. He made the church to be that for each other, to help us when we're low, when we can't push through, when we're up against something. We're not supposed to go through it alone. The church. And I have seen this church transfer into that so much over the last, 2 years probably. It has been awesome. And I want to continue with that. So I'm going to turn it over to you, to Marcus. You do with it as you feel led. God bless you.
Mike, thank you for sharing what was on your heart and sharing, I'm going to say, your story. God bless you for that. So is there anybody that would like to share with the group here? From what Mike was sharing, do you have a testimony? Do you have anything that you'd like to share with the group? If not, obviously we'll have time in our sharing as well in our split groups. I'll give you the mic.
One thing I see through this is, when I look at Jeremiah there, what the word says he was feeling, he was looking at the circumstances around him, and they were tough. I mean, this idea that he felt alone, I can easily understand. When you recognize the words he was speaking to the people, they were not easy words, And there were words that would isolate you if you just look. And I think the circumstances of life got him discouraged. But we cannot look on the circumstances. We have to keep our eyes on God and be sure that we walk, like Michael said, in his calling. One thing I thought of when it says, will you return? Will you return to joy? Will you return to having your eyes focused on me and be sold out to deliver whatever I place on your spirit? Or you'll get bogged down by looking around and say, nobody's listening. Everybody's mad at me. I'm making a ruckus wherever I go. Is this worth it? Well, our focus is wrong. Our focus should not be on what it brings forth, although it affects you. I know what that's like. I've been there. But we have to focus on where is God showing us where to go. And out of that is where we get our strength. We get burned out if we look at the circumstances. But we keep our eyes on God and walk in obedience and focus on that and allow him to fill us and not the fruit of our labor. I believe we can go through whatever he gives us to go through.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Anybody else have something they'd like to share? One thing I thought of from what Mike shared is that part of this is being open and honest and vulnerable, and with Mike being willing to share what he was feeling, his brothers were able to come around him and bless him and lift him up. And so I think that's part of this too. We need to be honest. We can't just trap this down and say, oh no, this isn't true. This, you know, I know God's calling me to this, and so I'm not even going to be in touch with my feelings here. I believe that's not healthy either. But so I think what we'll do is when we move into our sharing time, it's not that full here this morning. Maybe I would suggest one men's group, and I think the ladies normally have one group, and then you can spend some time sharing what are on your hearts at that point. So why don't we move into the offering? I'm not sure. There's Will. Can you grab a basket for us? The offering this morning is for the Way of Jesus Academy, and I'm going to ask a blessing on that, and then we'll send that around. All right, let's bow our heads and ask a blessing on this, on the offering. Thank you, Father, for the service this morning. Thank you, Father, for this school and the many lives that it has blessed. Pray a blessing on the teachers, the administration, everyone who's involved in the different aspects of school. I ask a blessing on the kids that come this week. I just ask that they step through the doors, that your peace would be in this building, and that the teachers would know how to lead, be sensitive to the needs of their kids, and that they would be able to just bless them. I ask a blessing on the offering this morning, and thank you so much for blessing the school with finances. I just want to praise you for that, Father, and ask that you continue to pour out a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.